If you would turn with me back to Matthew chapter 13, and this morning we come to verse 31 and verse 32. With the Lord's help, we will be considering this morning from a small beginning, from a small beginning. Matthew 13, verse 31 through to verse 32. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Dear congregation, Jesus said unto his disciples, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He will build, and none can stop. As we particularly consider this morning, the Gospel Age and the New Testament church, though it had a very small beginning, it has continued to be here upon earth, it has been preserved, and it is grown. And there has been wonderful increase. Many have flocked to her and found refuge therein. In Psalm 72, verses 7 and 8, where the psalmist looks forward to these days, we read, In his days, the days of the Lord Jesus, shall the righteous flourish, an abundance of peace, so long as the moon endureth. He shall have dominion also from sea to sea, and from the river unto the ends of the earth. Well, this morning we consider that from a small beginning, the church has known amazing growth, and it has become a refuge to many, which the Lord sets forth here in the parable of the grain of the mustard seed. Well, let's come directly to this parable this morning and the interpretation. First of all, we consider the kingdom of heaven. Secondly, the small beginning. Thirdly, the wonderful growth. And fourthly, the shelter for the saints. The kingdom of heaven, the small beginning, the wonderful growth, and the shelter for the saints. In verse 31 we read, The kingdom of heaven is like unto a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. Now the Lord is using another parable to teach lessons of the kingdom of heaven. In Luke 13, verse 18, it is referred to by our Lord as the kingdom of God, for it belongs unto him. It's called here the kingdom of heaven, for it is of heavenly origin, and it is a heavenly king, and it fits souls for heaven. Those who are brought in, they're helped in their preparation for heaven. It is called the kingdom of heaven. Now, when we consider a kingdom, we naturally think also of a king. If there is a kingdom, naturally there is a king, or like today, a queen, as we think of the United Kingdom. But as we think of this kingdom, we're led to consider the Lord God. In Psalm 47, verse 7, we read, For God is the King of all the earth. Sing ye praises with understanding. He is King. He is sovereign over all. He is king over his general kingdom. He has universal dominion. However, we particularly consider now the mediatorial kingdom, or the special kingdom. And we particularly notice here, the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. We're particularly considering the church here upon earth before us set out in this parable. And as we think of that, yes, we can consider the visible aspect, but then particularly here, we are led to consider what we call the kingdom of grace. We're thinking of those who are truly united to Christ, who have been saved by grace and are now supported by grace. Well, we consider the king particularly as the Lord Jesus Christ, for he is king over the church. He reigns over the church as a whole, but also he is king over the individual. There in the soul he reigns. Did not the apostle say, Christ liveth in me? He had bowed the knee to King Jesus, and he recognized that the Lord reigned. He was within his heart. So we think then of the kingdom, we think of the church, but then we're led to particularly consider the kingdom of grace, those that are saved in the church of Jesus Christ, in the invisible church. So then we think of the kingdom of heaven. God the Son is king over his special kingdom, the church. Particularly we think he reigns over the invisible church, but he also reigns over what we call the visible church. He's known as the kingdom of heaven, the visible church, in Matthew 16, verse 18 and 19, and Matthew 13, verse 47. However, let's particularly consider this morning what we call the invisible church, that is, those that are savingly united to Christ, those that are his seed, those that are in the family of God. The Lord Jesus Christ said in John 18, verse 36, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. You see, he makes plain there, the spiritual kingdom. It belongs to him. In Colossians 1, verse 13, we read, Who have delivered us from the power of darkness and have translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Our happy privilege, dear brothers and sisters, we've been translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son, God the Son. The kingdom of heaven. Just think again, it is of heavenly origin, planned by the Lord, set up by the Lord. It has a heavenly king, none other than the King of Glory, Psalm 74, none other than the King of Kings. The one who is higher than any king of the earth. It has a heavenly king. Oh, what a king he is. What royal beauty as we consider him. And with the Song of Solomon, we think of him as altogether lovely, having considered his royal beauty. It has heavenly laws, for they come from the Lord himself. When we think of Christ the King, who was appointed, the choice was clear in eternity before this world was made. None came close. The choice was clear that the King of the Kingdom of Heaven would be none other than our blessed King, the Lord Jesus Christ. In Psalm 2, verse 6, we read, Yet have I set my King upon my holy hill of Zion. Where he reigns, and we're thankful for that today. When we look out, there's much to give us cause for concern, but then we look up, we consider Christ, who is the King, and he's working out all for his glory. He is King and head of the church, and as we think of this, we're led to consider he has the crown right. How we need to remember that. One can be quick to forget that Christ has the crown rights and that his servants are answerable to him. He has the crown rights. We're to be on our knees before the King, not considering, wow, this is what we should do. Oh, it's what he would have us do. He is the King. He is the head. As head, he gave his life for the church. And you recall those familiar words in Ephesians 5, verse 23, For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the saviour of the body. Then verse 25, Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. He is the head, as the apostle makes plain. Gave himself. The beloved husband gave himself for his choice bride, the church. Such love. Such real love, such sacrificial love, a love that has been made known to us. You think of a husband. A husband makes known his love to his wife. He's often saying, are we not husbands, to our wives, I love you. But Christ has made known his love to us. Oh, it's displayed at Calvary, and it's displayed in our lives through the word, and it's displayed in his providences, and his words of comfort and help and direction. Oh, consider your beloved King. What love was displayed and is displayed. Oh, what love that he gave himself for us. The King spilled his precious blood that we will be redeemed. He came to accomplish redemption. He gave his life for the church. And so we read in Acts 20, verse 28, there, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Royal blood, I say, was shed for the church. And it secured its increase and preservation. The Lord God accepted what the Son did. He was satisfied. His royal blood secured its preservation and its increase. And when we think of that, today his royal blood secured the preservation of the church here in England and in Scotland and Northern Ireland and Wales today. Nor over this world, and it secured its increase. And there will be those who will be brought in on the wind of grace and saved because of Jesus. Oh, we're thankful for our King and Head. We look out what we're facing. We're facing a great pandemic, and we mustn't overlook that. We're facing restrictions. There's difficulties, there's struggles. We're all too aware, are we not, of the sorrow that many are facing. Still many are in the hospital and many are passing away. These things are brought before us and we know how serious the situation is. Yes, we're thankful. There is hope on the horizon, but we know how serious it still is. We can feel our weakness. We can feel our smallness. However, royal blood has secured the existence of the church. The Lord Jesus Christ saw to it on the cross of Calvary. Oh, consider him. What a King he is. What a glorious kingdom. And it's our privilege to know the King in the kingdom. Are you in the kingdom? Do you know the beloved King? Dear children of God, you are privileged to know this King. You are a royal subject. You belong to him. You are clothed in a righteous robe of righteousness, of wrought gold, says the psalmist. In Psalm 45, verse 13, clothed in his righteousness, you are accepted. The scepter has been lifted towards you, and you are in fellowship with the King. Oh, let us be often today at the feet of King Jesus. Oh, look to him. In these days, he will protect and preserve our souls. Let us be thankful for him and that we are in the kingdom. So as we think of the kingdom of heaven here, we're led to consider the church and particularly the invisible church, those that are savingly united to Christ. One may say, why is it called invisible? Well, it's because the work of the Holy Spirit done in the soul is not seen by men. Yes, there's the fruit that appears, but the actual work, like the wind. We cannot see the wind, but we see the effect of the wind. So then we have the kingdom of heaven. But let's now consider, secondly, the small beginning. The small beginning. Notice verse 31. The kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Our Lord likens the kingdom of heaven to a grain of mustard seed. Now some seeds, like the mustard seed, are very small. Uncle, years ago, when I was working in a polytunnel on the other side of the forest, and I had these clients with me, we had all these packets of pansy seeds, and we were to open them up and to take out the seed and then put them into the compost or sow them into the compost so that the pansies would grow and there would be plenty of pansy plants around the garden. But I remember on one occasion, I opened one of these packets of seeds and I pulled too hard and the seed just scattered and fell on the floor. They were so small that I didn't even bother to bend down and try and pick up anything. They were so small. But a mustard seed is very small. Notice verse 32, which indeed is the least of all seeds. Very small, and to some, well, not much to look at. So very small. Listen to Spurgeon. It was one single seed, and that seed a very small one. So very, very small. So let's think of this. It was from a small beginning. Now, we particularly are considering the church in the New Testament dispensation. As we think of the Old Testament day, there were a few, but in comparison to those who did not believe, even those who did were just a few. Think of Abraham and others and so on and so forth. But we're particularly considering the New Testament gospel dispensation, and that it was from a very small beginning. Let me just open this up. Just a handful of disciples, and a few others were converted. Just a few followers. And that's plain, isn't it? You remember those words in Luke 12, verse 32. Our Lord was addressing his followers. Fear not, little flock. And there's a stress there on the smallness of the flock. Fear not, little flock. They were but just a little flock. Now just think of this. The King of Glory, the King of Kings, came here to this world. He was here upon earth. And yet, to begin with, he had just a little group of followers. Now, I find great comfort in that. Because, you know, sometimes people come to me, how many is in your congregation? We come from a big congregation. And I know the Lord is blessed. But remember this, the Lord had just a few followers to begin with. Fear not, little flock. Just this little group of disciples, and they were despised, laughed at, mocked, seen as insignificant. Think of the grain of mustard seed, so very small, not significant to many. It was from a small beginning. People often look at something small and they pass by. Or they were passed by. Often these followers of Christ, seen as just weak, unlearned men. In Acts 4 verse 13 we read, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of him that they had been with to acknowledge of them that they have been with Jesus. Many looked on, they have taught those disciples. They're ignorant. Calvin wrote, a few followers and those insignificant and mean men. So low, so weak. You remember the Jews when they were helping to build the walls in Nehemiah's day, their enemies came along. What do these feeble Jews do? Or we think of the disciples, hated by many, persecuted. Was not our Lord hated and persecuted? And so were his followers. This small little group were hated. But there was a beginning. The kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed which a man took and sowed in his field. The Lord sowed. He established the New Testament church. It was there. Not a great congregation to begin with, but it was there. From a small beginning, it grew and it grew. Consider and 3,000 souls were added on the day of Pentecost. From a small beginning. And as we consider the church over these last 2,000 years and a few extra, the church has grown, and we're thankful for this. But just before we consider this, just consider a local church can feel its smallness. A new church plant can feel its smallness as well, and that they are fragile. An older congregation can feel their smallness. People can look on, so small, yet the Lord has his eye upon it. He said in Luke 12, verse 32, "Fear not, little flock. Fear not, little flock. Remember, the King of Glory has a concern for the little flock as well as the larger flock. They're truly loved by him. They're precious to him. He has a heart for them." Well, it was from a small beginning that the Lord was there with them. He didn't despise them. They were just a few, but he met with them. And a reminder today, though we may be a few, the Lord is not ashamed. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. We can feel our smallness, but the Lord can still use and bless as we see here. Just opposite, there was a airstrip, and a number of Spitfires took off and were involved in the Battle of Britain. There's an old photo of a Spitfire in front of the chapel here. Well, you think of those Spitfires and those men that went forth. So much was achieved by so few. And you consider this here. How the Lord blessed his disciples, and much was achieved with just a few of them. And it reminds us today that though a congregation may be small like ourselves, the Lord can use and the Lord can bless, and much can be achieved. Well, we think then from a small beginning, the church grew. And just before we move on, consider this also. Where there is grace, there is life, and growth follows. The believer who's just been converted may feel their weakness, their smallness, they have lots to learn, but all growth follows, and the Lord blesses. Well, let's consider thirdly this morning, the wonderful growth, verse 32, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. The mustard seed, it was sown. There was a beginning. Yes, it was small, but there came wonderful growth and increase. But when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs and becometh a tree. Despised to begin with, insignificant, but then there are those looking, considering, how wonderful is the church, and people are brought in. There's been growth, wonderful increase. Think again of the day of Pentecost, 3,000 souls. And in Acts 4, verse 5, we read of another 5,000 souls. And it's continued to grow and grow since those days. There's been wonderful increase. The kingdom has extended. It extended beyond the borders of Israel. And it's grown all over this world. And it's growing. And more are being added to it. In Revelation 7, verse 9 and 10, we read, and remember John is writing there of those that are sealed. After this I beheld, and though a great multitude, which no man could number of all nations, and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb." Did you note there a great multitude which no man can number? Well, the multitude has come. The boundaries have been extended, the church has grown, and there's such a multitude that no man can number. Just pause. On that great day, dear child of God, as you look at all the people of God, you won't be able to number them. What a thought that is. Of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, out of all the nations, and out of all the tribes. And so we believe there is much more blessing to come in the gospel, so that this promise in Revelation 7 is fulfilled. Oh, how the kingdom has expanded so far. One can be cast out. One can be disturbed by what is happening. But oh, look up to the King. His kingdom has so grown. And I tell you this, the kingdom has never been larger than what it is at this very hour. We're facing a pandemic. We're under lockdown. Yet the kingdom of heaven has never been larger than what it is today. It's grown in the past week and in the past few months. It's growing and it will continue to grow. Sometimes people look at the numbers in one certain place and think, well, what's happening? But when we consider the whole, oh, the kingdom has grown this week and it will continue to grow. Psalm 72, verse 7, in his days shall the righteous flourish, and abundance of peace so long as the moon endureth. He shall have dominion also from sea to sea, and from the river unto the ends of the earth. You see the reign of Christ, the universal reign of God we consider he is over all. When we think of the church, his church will be throughout this world, from sea to sea, and from the river unto the ends of the earth. Such growth. He is the King. He will have his people all over this world, according to the promise. What a blessing. We've been brought in, and we are found here. There's growth, and there's also growth in the individual believers. Individual believer. It's growing. We think of the seed of mustard. It grew. Think of those who have been brought in. There's growth. The church is growing. And there's growth in the individual believer. Oh, let us seek to continue to flourish in the Lord. Let us be concerned about growth in our hearts. Well, let's come to a conclusion this morning. Fourthly and finally, the shelter for the saints. The shelter for the saints. Notice verse 32, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Here in the New Forest, there are a number of mighty oaks. Just up the road, there is a prime example, and also down at the ford at Moyles Court. Over the years, as you think of the oak up the road, many birds have flocked to that tree and found refuge in its branches. Even a swarm of bees have made it their home from time to time. Well, we consider here the parable, the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. There's been growth and more are coming into the family of God. We think of the birds here, but let us consider particularly in this part of the parable as well of the Lord's people. Yes, we can think of the Lord's people as we consider the growth of the tree. People have been saved, but we also consider the Lord's people here also as we think of the birds of the air. Let's just open this up in closing. Believers have found shelter in the Church of Jesus Christ. Under Christ the King. They've been refreshed. They find a place to rest. You think of the birds that come and lodge in the tree, on the branches. They find a place to rest. And there's food in the branches, is there not? There's fruit in the trees. I've often said to my children over the years, you do know that these trees, it doesn't look like it, but they've got fruit as well. There's fruit on the oak trees, as well as the apple trees. There's the little acorns, isn't it? That's fruit. Yes. But there's food in the trees, and the birds have found food, and the Lord's people have found food in the church. There's a place to rest. They've been brought in on the wind of grace, drawn by the Lord. Have you been brought in on the wind of grace? Or are you outside? Haven't you found that resting place in the church of Jesus Christ? Oh, you think of the birds of the air, they're brought in on the wind. Believers have been brought in on the wind of grace, chosen by grace, drawn by grace, saved by grace, and now because of grace they're being refreshed in the church of Jesus Christ. There's blessing there. Matthew Henry wrote, God's people have recourse to it for food and rest, shade and shelter. The believer in the church finds shelter in union with Christ, and there's preservation. There's protection in the kingdom of Christ. The believer may feel weak, and they may feel their smallness, but there's protection. For there is a king in the kingdom. Oh, we find rest in the Lord's kingdom because Christ is there. There's refreshment there. The Lord has called men to the ministry. There's the preaching of the word. There's food for the soul in the church of Jesus Christ. We consider in the Song of Solomon the banqueting house, rich provision. There's the ordinances wherein we are blessed. Consider, for example, how so many of the Lord's people are refreshed and comforted through the singing of God's praises. You think of the birds in the trees, they sing. Think of the Lord's people in the Church of Jesus Christ, there is singing in their hearts at this time. And there's refreshment. It's a place we call home. In Psalm 84, verses 1 to 4, we read, how amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even mine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee. There's the psalmist. He thinks of the little sparrows, those little birds that have found a place to rest, have found a home. There, in the house of God, how much more has he found a home in the church, in the house of God? How much we have found a home in the kingdom of heaven? And then we think of the visible aspect of the kingdom of heaven. We found a home, I trust. Oh, let each local congregation be a resting place. And we who love the Lord, we're to do what we can to encourage the brethren, by loving the brethren, by helping the brethren, so that they can feel it is home to them. In closing, are you in the church? Are you in the kingdom of heaven? Have you been brought in? The other day I was travelling up to Downton to drop my oldest daughter off for work early in the morning, and I noticed this flock of birds. They were perching on the wires, the electricity wires. It's an amazing thing, isn't it, children? But I'm sure you know why the birds can perch on electricity wires as we see them. So many of them. And then I turned and I looked at all these trees, and they were full of these birds. So many of them. They were there. Oh, are you in the church? Are you there? Oh, for many more to be drawn in, blown in on the wind of grace in this locality. Oh, that many more would join in the singing of the praises of God. From a small beginning, there came wonderful. Oh, may we see it before us in this area. Yes, as we look at it as a whole, yes, the Church of Jesus Christ in this world is growing and growing. Oh, to see it
in this area?
Well, from a small beginning, there was wonderful growth. As I conclude, just ask again, I will. Are you found in the kingdom of heaven? Are you growing in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ? Amen.
That's cool. It's such a lovely thing. To read that, you
It's still recording!